It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The state of Pennsylvania has now gone nearly half a year without a budget. If you haven't noticed the difference, don't tell that to anyone associated with schools or human services. 5.5 months into the state budget stalemate, many cash-strapped school districts and small nonprofits focused on children, families, and mental health have exhausted reserves and racked up debt. The Easter Seals laid off nearly 24 people last week. So where do negotiations stand, and is there an end in sight? I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by 90.5 WESA Capitol correspondent Mary Wilson. Good day, Mary.
Hi, Paul.
The Pennsylvania Society political bash was held in Manhattan over the weekend. I don't suppose you were up there hobnobbing with the politicians?
No, I decided to sit it out this year.
Well, so did a lot of other legislators, apparently. The state budget crisis giving lawmakers a reason to avoid being seen at this thing. So did they, in fact, stay away?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't there, like we said, but several reporters were for the Inquirer, for the Daily News. The Patriot News sent a reporter. And it appears that most state lawmakers did stay away. The Senate Majority Leader was there. He had a couple events on Friday, and so he was there for that. Democratic Senator from Montgomery County, Daylon Leach, was in attendance. York County Republican Senator Scott Wagner was in attendance. And I may be missing one or two other names, but for the most part, the legislature tried to avoid the bad optics, as we've been saying for a couple weeks, when we've been asking them questions about this, of being at PA Society.
And was part of this, you know, if politicians were avoiding this, or lawmakers were at any rate, was part of the idea that, you know, people would get the impression that they were home working on a solution to the budget impasse? And in fact, has anything, any progress or any discussion of a strategy taken place in the last few days?
A strategy to end the impasse?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen a big change in the past few days. The House was in over the weekend for a little bit on Sunday night. They made some tweaks to bills. The Senate Republicans say that the tweaks could be real problems. So we still are where we were before PA Society, if you will, on Thursday. Nothing big has changed. And what it looks like is a bit of a showdown between the House Republicans, who have essentially walked away from a budget deal, a framework, as they keep referring to it, a tentative deal with the governor and the Senate Republican majority.
Right. So the governor and the Senate, they had at least what was called, as you've said, a framework for an agreement in place. The House of Representatives is not on board with this plan. Why is the House holding things up?
Well, the House GOP is a bit more conservative than the Senate, than the Senate Republicans. And for them, an increase in spending of 6%, which is what I believe the Senate and, you know, governor-approved or governor-blessed deal includes, that's a hard pill to swallow for them. These are guys and women who have run for office on reducing government spending, reducing the size of government. You know, a lot of them are Republicans cast in the image of Tea Party movement, and a 6% increase in spending is a really tough pill to swallow, especially when they see the gains in their priorities as being paltry. The liquor bill, the liquor privatization bill that was talked about and so vaunted by House Republicans, now looks to be like merely a liberalization of wine sales. They're saying, well, that's not good enough. They're saying that they haven't really talked so much about what pension proposed changes to the pension systems would mean, you know, what kind of success that would have getting votes in their chamber. But basically, you know, they're a more conservative Republican body over there in the House than we see in the Senate. They don't like the idea of more spending, and they don't see that their own priorities are having enough traction in this entire, you know, budget deal.
So how far apart then are the House and the Senate at this point? Is this an unreconcilable difference at this point, or are they still talking?
Well, they're still talking, but you ask a good question, and I'm not sure I have a great answer. How far apart are they in terms of spending? They're about $500 million apart. The House passed a budget at about $30.3 billion. The Senate has passed a budget that is at $30.8 billion. So strictly in terms of numbers, $500 million. But it's not clear if the Senate will agree to negotiate down. It's not clear that the governor will sign a bill that spends anything less than what passed the Senate. It's really not clear whether the House and the Senate can get on the same page when it comes to what taxes will change to come up with the increases in education spending that the governor wants to see, with the kind of money that the state will need to fill a structural budget deficit. So there are a lot of unknowns, and I'm not sure I have a good answer to the question, well, how far apart are these guys? They're very far apart.
We're talking with our Capitol correspondent, Mary Wilson, about the budget situation. Will it end? Will the stalemate end before 2015 comes to an end? Or will this continue on to the new year? And what kind of problems will that present? And Mary Wilson, where does this leave school districts and human service organizations which depend on state support? Are they at the breaking point?
Well, they've been saying that they're at the breaking point for several months. But the breaking point, you know, it kind of depends. If you are a human services organization that can find a business or a charity in your community to donate, I don't know, $1 million to, or, you know, like $20,000, I've heard, to help float you a no-interest loan, you can hang on for a while. If you're an organization that has good credit, you can borrow money to stay open. If you're a school district that is not very poor and so gets most of its funding from your local tax base as opposed to state aid, you can hang on. But school districts that do rely in large part on the state are hurting right now, and some are threatening that they won't be able to stay open after the holiday break. So far, it's just threats. But I've heard since, September or October, that the minute a large school system closes down, the entire dynamic changes. And we've already seen daycare providers, human services organizations having to close, and it's had, I would say, a minimal impact on the sense of urgency in Harrisburg. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, and that leads to my next question, which is: at what point will some of these legislators who will be running for re-election next year in districts that would have to be unhappy at what's going on, at what point will they begin to buckle under the pressure? For example, late last week, Pittsburgh's Catholic Bishop David Zubik joined business and civic leaders in calling on the governor and the legislature to end the budget deadlock because of the toll it's taken. Have you gotten the sense, Mary, in your work covering the events at the Capitol, that some of these politicians are beginning to feel the heat?
I think they're all definitely feeling the heat. What is really interesting about it is that if you're a lawmaker if you got elected as a lawmaker pledging to reduce spending, then you're getting a lot of calls right now from people who are saying, stand firm, you know, bring that budget spend figure down. Don't give in. If you're Governor Wolf and you got elected on a platform of pumping more money into the schools, you're getting calls and emails and tweets right now that are also saying, stand firm, don't give in, you know? So it's not that they're not feeling the heat. They're all feeling the heat, and we've got divided government. So there's no clear mandate from the public to actually meet in the middle. There's no clear path ahead. They all have a reason to say, well, look, I should not be compromising more than I am.
So, Mary, I know you're not a Vegas odds maker, but what are the chances that we will see a deal before Christmas?
I really don't know. I've been telling everybody that I threw my crystal ball out the window just out of frustration with reporting on the process for 5 months and change.
Did you open the window? Did you open the window before you threw the crystal ball out?
It's just figurative. No windows were broken or harmed in the making of this metaphor. But you know, we don't have a tax bill yet. That tends to be the thing that really shows that a budget deal is real. We don't have one. These are massive pieces of legislation. Hundreds of pages have been passed in the House or in the Senate in the past week. And only now are people starting to raise issues with some of the little poison pills in them or some of the little problematic areas, controversies tucked away in these massive pieces of legislation. And all that tends to slow down the process. So not only are major pieces of this negotiation unknown, but we are just starting to see little controversies pop up, and all that is going to slow things down.
What would be an example of a poison pill that some legislator or committee discovered and said, oh, whoa, wait a minute, what about this?
Well, a few have popped up over the weekend. The Philadelphia schools superintendent has taken issue with something that came out of the Senate, a budget-related piece of legislation that would basically hasten the takeover of schools that are failing, allowing those schools to be taken over by the state, and if they don't recover, to be closed or flipped and run as charters. That is prompting concerns from Philadelphia. Although it appears to be a part of the agreed to budget framework that included at least the Senate at this point and the governor. So that has popped up. Environmentalists are calling attention to another budget related piece of legislation that would delay the implementation of new regulations limiting emissions from coal and gas-fired power plants under the federal Clean Power Plan. And the Senate says, no, that's not what the bill would do, but a lot of environmentalists are crying foul over this, you know, little provision, you know, tucked into a budget-related item. So those are just a couple examples of things that have cropped up in the past few days.
Well, it doesn't sound like there's much reason for optimism here at all.
That's, I don't think I have a rejoinder to that, Paul.
Right. Well, I've been looking for, you know, for, on behalf of our audience anyway, the people that are concerned about this and that are, whose lives are, have been adversely impacted by all this, some ray of hope, but there really doesn't seem to be any other than, I guess, the fact that they're still talking. And as long as they're still talking, I suppose something could happen.
They're still talking. And if I could just say one more thing, to the extent that, you know, I called these controversial provisions in budget-related legislation poison pills, and that's probably not a charitable way to describe them. They're compromises. They are the result of compromise, and those things are going to be controversial with different groups involved here. And maybe that's the ray of hope that, you know, if people are unhappy, if there's new legislation to look at, well, that means that not only are the different sides talking, but they are compromising and they are getting closer to a deal.
Okay, well, that's a good note to end on then. And Mary Wilson, our Capitol correspondent, joining us from Harrisburg with an update on the budget negotiations, the budget impasse. Hopefully you'll have some better news. Otherwise, if we don't speak to you between now and the end of the year, happy holidays to you, and we'll look forward to speaking with you in 2016.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be with you.
Coming up, will discounted tickets from Amtrak be enough to boost train travel in western Pennsylvania? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.